We take you live to First United Church of Christ in Sauk City for the Sunday morning worship service.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome. It is good to see you here this morning. A few announcements before we get started. Tammy Young is our liturgist today. Yay, Tammy. A radio sponsor, Cliff and Jan Lawton, in honor of son Russell. Thank you. If you'd like to sponsor a radio broadcast, be in touch with the church office. There are available dates. It's $90 a week, and we do have people who are faithful radio listeners. So this matters. Also, we have adult education discussion today after the service. So there's coffee hour, grab some treats and chat for a few minutes, and then come and talk about voting faithfully. Next Sunday, October 13th, the Open and Affirming Love Thy Neighbor Committee is putting on a workshop in the Fireside Room on writing letters for advocacy. So you don't have to necessarily write a letter there. We'll just talk about how to identify issues you're passionate about, how to write a letter. We'll be taught by Shirley Ann Shirley. October 27th, our adult education discussion will be on being peacemakers. Also, the Sauk Prairie Against Hunger PAC event is coming, Grand Avenue Elementary, Thursday, October 24th at 6:30. And we have a full table for people to pack food. So come on, y'all. Everybody come help. And mobile meals, October 28th and November 4th. We need some volunteers to deliver, and there's a sign up out in the narthex. Now, here, our First United Church of Christ welcome statement. Love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself, said Jesus. First United Church of Christ is an open and affirming congregation. We strive to foster loving and caring relationships in our church and community as we welcome and value all people, whoever you are, however you identify, whomever you love, whatever your story, no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey. You are welcome as you are here at First UCC, Sauk City. Now let's take a few moments of silence to come into this holy space, this holy company. Take a deep breath and let all the cares, the concerns, the anxieties of the world melt away. Deep breath and let it out. Know that God is here with us, in us. Breathe in love. Breathe out peace.
Please join me in the call to worship. The lies that systems of violence tell. They want us enemies, fractured, stuck in a loop of separation. But oh, how we belong to one another. We rage at the loss of each Palestinian life. We will mourn, too, the wiped out chestnut trees of Turtle Island and the meadowlark choirs are quieter each year. These are our siblings, our beloved. And yet, and still, and we must hold beauty and sorrow together. Sing because joy is defiance. Make art because there's art to be made. Raise children because there are children to raise. God of intimacy, God of grief, God of stubborn, stubborn hope, commune with us, weave us together, keep our hearts tender towards loss and our spirits united towards collective liberation. Amen.
Our hymn is number 23 in the New Century Hymnal. There's a wideness in God's mercy, and please rise if you are willing and able. Join me in our prayer of unburdening. Holy God, creator of all the universe, unbound by time or space, sometimes we fool ourselves into thinking you have particular care for one period of time, one ideology, one nation, one people. We forget that the divine perspective goes back beyond billions of years through all that is, has been, and ever will be. Jesus would not belong to one political party or another. Democrat, Republican, Whig, Tory, Sadducee. He was on the side of love, feeding the hungry, welcoming the stranger, setting free the oppressed, creating justice. Help us to remember that our first loyalty is not to party, not even to nation, but to love. Empire divides. You bring together. Bring us together, Holy One. And hear God's promise. God knows that our perspectives are narrow, that we do not know how to take the deep and long view. God cares only that we try. Try to rise above the narrow confines of systems of empire and party and nationality. God asks us to love, and God's face shines upon us. Amen. For which we all say, without exception, everyone is welcome at this table. So if you are hungry, even just curious, please come and taste. Today we celebrate something called World Communion Sunday. It's an idea invented over 100 years ago. Presbyterian pastor wanted to remind us all around the world people celebrate today. Through the whole day, as morning comes, people will break bread, they will tear tortillas, they will break rice cakes, unleavened bread. Big fat loaves of challah, pumpernickel perhaps, all kinds of bread all around the world. Because this is Jesus' table, and it reminds us of that table 2,000 years ago where he sat with friends and he broke bread and ate. That means all those people around the world who are celebrating communion today, they celebrate with us as though we are at the same table, all of us through history, whoever has been to this table, eaten bread, had a sip of wine, and remembered the bread of life and the cup of love. We all eat together. Everyone, whoever will sit at this table and be fed. World Communion Sunday, indeed. He took bread and he broke it. And he said, "Eat and remember who you are. Remember that you are beloved, beloved students, beloved friends. Remember that I will be going, and the church will be you. You will have this mission to teach, to heal, to seek the lost, to proclaim love. In order to do all this, you must be fed. So eat and drink and remember. Holy Spirit, pour out your gifts on this bread, this cup. Fill them with love so that as we eat, we may incorporate Jesus' message, Jesus' mission, Jesus' love into ourselves. In your name we pray. Amen.
for you. The bread of life, broken for you. The bread of life, God, broken for you. The bread of life, Christ, broken for you. The bread of life, Lord, broken for you. Bread of life, Dean, broken for you. Bread of life, Rose, broken for you.
Holy God, we thank you for this opportunity to gather at your table, to be fed. We know that we are what we eat. Science has long told us this. Our moms have long told us this. May we be life and love. Amen. And now we have some kids' time and our commissioning of Sunday school teachers. Greg, you want to come up?
Good morning. It is a pleasure to announce this morning our 2024-2025 Sunday school staff for the year. Teachers, you can come forward as I say your name. And something a little different this year. This is not new to any of these people. In fact, many of them have gone through this event a number of times. And it's because of these years of dedication that they've gone through this that I want to quick share a couple things with you. So we'll start with our 4K through second grade class. And this year is being taught by Megan Endres and Katie Homar. Megan completed Sunday school and confirmation here. After completing Sunday school, so while she was still in confirmation, she was an assistant for 6 years. It has been a joy to have Megan join our staff again. Today, I give thanks for you, Megan. Thank you. Katie Homar will be teaming with Megan. Katie's out of town today, but I wanted to include Katie in our thanks. Two of Katie's children went through a Christian Ed program, and Henry is currently enrolled. Katie has faithfully been part of our staff for 15 years. Today, we give thanks for Katie. Teaching grades 3 through 6 are Stacy Noltner and Carrie Larson. Stacy is the mom of 3 kiddos in our Sunday school and confirmation program. And Stacy, I think you taught Bible school for me way back in 2014. And after that, you helped us many years as a substitute, and you've taught now for the past 3 years. Stacy, we give thanks for you. Carrie has taught many grades throughout the years in our Christian Ed program. She also has had 2 children go through Sunday school and confirmation. Carrie has been on the Sunday school staff for 11 years. We give thanks for you, Carrie. teaching a combined large group class with me once every 3 weeks, so we give our teachers a little break, is Sharon Deal. Sharon has also had 2 children go through our program, and Sharon taught for 9 years and rejoined our team last year. We give thanks for you, Sharon. Substituting this year is Jean Ann Brenninger. Jean Ann was also support staff last year, but before that, Jean Ann taught 5th and 6th grade, always the older kids, and Jean Ann did this for 18 years. We give thanks for you, Jean Ann. Confirmation class will be led by Pastor Jennifer and assisting her, Jenny Brickle. So we have 2 Jennies. Jenny has had 4 children go through our program, and her daughter Callista is currently a second-year confirmation student. Jenny taught Sunday school for 7 years and substituted for a number of years for us. We give thanks for you, Jenny. Well, the new kid on the block is Pastor Jennifer, and we look forward to her new ideas and her enthusiasm, and we look forward to her being a part of our staff for many, many years ahead. Please join me in thanking them with a round of applause.
God of creation, you have gifted these teachers with teaching skills, creativity, curiosity, love of children, care for this church. Pray you will fill them with the power and compassion of the Holy Spirit, with energy and insight into your word and the story of faith. You are not called to be perfect teachers. You are called to be faithful. You're not called to know everything. You're called to believe. May God grant you wisdom, patience, and joy in teaching. Amen. Will our kiddos come up now?
Hi. Can I sit down here with you? Hello. I have a little story I'm going to tell you. It's here on my iPad. This is about Genesis, which I think you've been talking about a little bit. So it's a story. God decides to create the world. So God separates night and day. God puts some rocks together and creates mountains. God does all sorts of things. And the angels say, "Is it finished yet?" And God says, "No. No, not finished yet." So God then made a man and a woman. And God said to them, "You know what? I've been working on this for a while. I'm getting kind of tired now. So how about you finish up the world for me? It's almost done. It's almost done." And the man and the woman said, "Ha ha ha. We can't do that. We can't finish the world. You're the one who planned it. You're the one who knows what it's supposed to be like. You're not enough." And God said, "Nope, you're big enough, but here's the deal. If you keep trying to finish the world, I'm going to be your partner." So the man and the woman said, "What's a partner?" They were pretty new. And God said, "A partner is someone you work on with a big thing that you can't do alone. If you have a partner, it means you never give up." because your partner is depending on you. And on days you think I'm not doing enough, and on days I think you're not doing enough, even on those days, we're still partners. And we will keep trying to finish the world. That's the deal. And then everybody agreed to that deal. They said, okay, we're going to do this. And then the angel said to God, so is the world finished now? And God says, I don't know. Go ask my partners. So that is us. We are still God's partners in making the world. And we're making it, hopefully we're making it a little bit kinder, a little bit more loving, a little bit funnier, because funny is important. All right. And that's what you're learning in Sunday school, I hope, I think. All right. Let's pray. Holy God, bless these children and kids in our lives, in our hearts, the youth as they grow into grown-ups. Help them to grow in wisdom and faith, love of you, love of their neighbor, love of themselves. Help them to know that they are precious. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, you can go now. Use your walking feet, and you can follow Mrs. McFarland.
Our epistle lesson is from Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 through 24. Then the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner. So out of the ground the Lord God formed every animal of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all cattle, and to the birds of the air, and to every animal of the field. But for the man, there was not found a helper as his partner. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, this at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of man this one was taken. Therefore a man leaves his father and his mother and clings to his wife, and they become one flesh.
Your gospel reading is from Mark, chapter 10, verses 2 to 16. Some Pharisees came, and to test him, they asked, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? He answered them, what did Moses command you? They said, Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her. But Jesus said to them, because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Then in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. He said to them, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them, and the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, let the little children come to me. Do not stop them. For it is such to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly, I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it. And he took them up in his arms and laid his hands on them and blessed them. Listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church. There's a lot happening this week. Jesus talks about divorce and adultery and children, and this is World Communion Sunday as well. And some of you may have heard that there's an election coming. A little known fact in American history is that for approximately 250 years, one of the ways that congregations engaged in public life was to hear an election sermon. As elections approached, houses of worship, churches, would fill with citizens who were eager to reflect on the moral qualifications of those running for office, of laws. Jim Antle, he was the conference minister in Massachusetts for a long time, and then worked at National on social justice, said throughout his career he gave these election sermons. And he talked about principles. He said the first principle was each candidate's past record and current promises about how society and government must care for the least of those. Think on that. The second principle, discerning which candidate is most likely to preserve and advance justice and the common good. The third principle, which candidate's proposed policies and past practices take into consideration the integrity of creation, care for our common home, for all humanity and for future generations. And the fourth principle affirms Gandhi's assertion that the means are the ends being made. Which candidate can be trusted to tell the truth, to use proper legal, moral means. These are four principles that he discussed 20-some years ago. I already gave this away in the prayer, but do you think Jesus would be a Republican or a Democrat? No. No. The word politics comes from an ancient Greek word, polis. It means city, the gathered people. Politics is the affairs of the state, the things of the community, the things that affect people. So should church have anything to say about these? About things that affect people? Yes. Welcoming the stranger, feeding the hungry, setting free the oppressed, caring for widows and orphans, or the modern equivalent. If these are political, then church has to be involved. But really, these are moral. It's about loving God and loving neighbor. That's not separate from Christian values. It is Christian values. So we speak of these issues. As pastor, I can't, and I don't actually want to tell you who to vote for. But as pastor, I can and have to address issues. We are not a Democratic Party church or a Republican Party church. It's right there in the name. We are a Christian church. So we call both parties, whoever's in power, all of them, to be better, to practice values, to respect human dignity. There is no party of Jesus. The God of creation who made all the universes billions of years ago, the God who is the past, the present, the future, the God who is so big, isn't choosing a candidate and is probably also not choosing a Super Bowl team. The Bible doesn't give specific policies. It teaches us values. So what sort of immigration policy should we have? Bible doesn't say. Doesn't tell us. It should be based on our values, though. And the Bible gives us some values. Deuteronomy 10, 18 and 19. The Lord your God loves the strangers, providing them with food and clothing. You shall also love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Ezekiel 47, 21. The aliens should be to you as citizens and shall also be allotted an inheritance. Matthew 25, I was a stranger and you welcomed me. Romans 12, the mark of the true Christian, extend hospitality to strangers. Deuteronomy 6, 10, the people of Israel are made aware that the land comes to them as a gift from God and to remember they were once aliens too. Deuteronomy 27, cursed be anyone who deprives the alien of justice. Jeremiah 7, if you do not oppress the alien, then I will dwell with you in this place. Hebrews, show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels. There's a lot more. A lot more. What the law should be, Scripture doesn't tell us, but it tells us that we should act out of love, out of compassion, out of recognizing human rights and human dignity. What does that mean exactly for policies and paperwork? And I don't know. There are others who will figure that out. But it means that our lens is love. We see a little bit of that in our readings today. In the beginning, Genesis tells us God saw a problem. There's all this newly designed, newly made great stuff, and it's good. And then God says, actually, wait, it's not good. It's not good for a human to be alone. The human wasn't alone. God was there. All the animals were there, the trees and the flowers and so much was there. And yet God said, we need somebody else. So God created Eve for Adam. And Adam cries out, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. A true equal, a companion, a friend. Here is someone that I recognize as the same, like me, who is precious, who is beautiful. Human community begins this way. You are like me. You are like me and precious and beautiful. What Adam noticed first wasn't the differences. It was you are like me. There are two creation stories in Genesis. God made man and woman in God's image, and then this one. God made Adam, and then God made Eve from Adam's side. She was created to be an ezer, a helpmate. A person who provides help, who provides assistance. The word is used other places in the Bible. Often it is used of God. God was an ezer. Psalms tells us, Israel, trust in God. God is your help. God is your ezer. It's not a subordinate, an assistant. It is a helper, a friend. This initial dream for human relationships is so stunning that centuries later, a group of Pharisees who were trying to trick Jesus into saying something wrong ask him about divorce. And he sent him right back to Genesis. Ancient Israel was pretty patriarchal. Women couldn't inherit. They were essentially property, like children. Divorce was easy for a man. That's why you hear it this way. He had to write a note saying, I don't want my wife anymore, and it was done. Women could not write such notes saying, I don't want my husband anymore. When she was divorced, she could go back to her father, maybe, her brother, find a man to take her in, because she needed that. So Jesus says, you don't get to treat women that way. You don't get to treat your wife that way. You don't get to treat another human that way. Your spouse is your partner, your helper. Make this world better together, more beautiful, more peaceful. And we do that by honoring relationships, the relationships close to us. And then relationships in ever-expanding circles. It's not a legal question, he tells them. It's a spiritual, a moral question. God joins us together as partners. We're not commodities or objects or conquest. It's dignity. That, Jesus reminds the Pharisees, is God's dream. Now, these lines have been used against divorced people. That is not what Jesus would have done. To remember that God's desire for marriage to be lifelong intimacy and companionship and beautiful relation is not to say that that's always possible. Or to say that not staying in a marriage that's broken or harmful is a sin, because it's not. What these readings do is give us something to aspire to. Good relationships, equality, help, making the world better and more beautiful. Right relationships give rise to more right relationships. So at this time, when there's so much anger and exhaustion and conflict, this dream for humanity might seem crazy, like a pipe dream. It can be hard of heart. Me too. But I think God planted this dream in us long ago. You are like me, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. We are the same, one humanity. We were created for this. Amen. Our hymn is in the New Century Hymnal, number 402. De Colores. You're gonna have to learn that one. Just saying. It's good. Right, and it's time to share prayers with God, who knows and loves us in all things. God knows the details. Any prayers to share today?
I'd like for all of us to pray for the people in the terrible hurricane zones and those that are looking for their loved ones and all the people that have gone to help. Bless them all and be with them and give them strength.
Prayers for my friend Marilyn, who's going through breast cancer.
Prayers of gratitude for our creatures, our pets, and for the pets who came to our service on Friday night. And also I offered a prayer there for a dog that had been stolen from his home who was found, and I give thanks for that, and just offer prayer for animals anywhere who are suffering in any way.
Ask for prayers for Marsha Luchikoff and her family as she prepares to enter hospice. Let's take a moment of silence for the prayers that we hold in our hearts. Holy One, I ask you to hear us today. Prayers for all those people in hurricane zones, those who have lost so much, those who are there to help. We pray for Marilyn. We pray for Marcia. We pray for all animals who are suffering. And we give thanks for a lovely service, for all the pets that we have and adore and bring so much good to our lives. And for this community. For all this and the prayers that we hold in our hearts, Holy God, hear us today. Let us pray as Jesus taught us. This one is from Holy Wisdom Monastery in Madison, but you can use whatever words are comfortable. Holy One, our only home, blessed be your name. May your day dawn, your will be done, here as in heaven. Feed us today and forgive us as we forgive each other. Do not forsake us at the test, but deliver us from evil. For the glory, the power, and the mercy are yours, now and forever. Amen. And God invites us to share from our many blessings, to build a community of friendship, of love. Let us pray. The relational God beckons us not toward a hierarchy, not toward categories separating us from them, but toward mystery, toward belonging, toward sacred, mystifying, reverent interdependence. May we use all our gifts in service of sacred relationships. Amen. Our closing hymn is Let There Be Peace on Earth.
That was meant.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City. WRPQ Baraboo.